This is VOA News in Washington. I'm Jeff Custer. A United Nations spokesperson said Friday UN Secretary General Antonio Guterres is still waiting for a response from Russian President Vladimir Putin on a proposal to extend a deal allowing Ukraine grain exports safe passage through the Black Sea corridor. Guterres wrote to Putin Tuesday asking him to extend the deal, but still there's been no reply. UN spokesperson Stéphane Dujarric told reporters there have been discussions between the UN and Russia. Even WhatsApp messages are being sent, but still no definitive answer. Earlier Friday, U.S. Secretary of State Antony Blinken urged Russia to extend the Black Sea grain deal set to expire Monday.
We know that in...
I apologize, that was not Antony Blinken. Meanwhile, at this week's NATO summit in Helsinki, NATO Secretary General Jens Stoltenberg discussed the military assistance the alliance is continuing to provide Ukraine, saying the stronger Ukraine is, the more ground they can take back from Russians, and the better Ukraine's position will be when they eventually sit down to negotiate peace. But how likely it is at this point that there will be such a negotiation? Aberystwyth University international political lecturer Jenny Mathers told VOA's Flashpoint Ukraine program she thinks they won't happen soon.
I think we have a problem when we think about how the war might end in terms of negotiated settlements, because we're simply just so far away from either Russia or Ukraine seeing a pathway to that kind of a solution. I think both countries are still convinced that they can win. Both countries are absolutely determined to put every effort into continuing the war to a successful conclusion. And nobody is really talking seriously about whether a compromise could be reached, what it might look like, who is willing to sort of give ground.
This is VOA News. Republicans in the U.S. House of Representatives have pushed through a defense bill limiting abortion access to military personnel and halting efforts at diversity. The Associated Press correspondent Ed Donahue reports.
The bill includes a pay raise for service members. It also restricts access to abortion, diversity initiatives at the Pentagon, and transgender care. Jamal Brown is a Democrat from New York.
It's more focused on attacking trans people and black people and women and DEI and so-called wokeism. Unfortunately, that's what they're all about.
The bill passed by 9 votes. Texas Republican Chip Roy was among those voting in favor.
We are establishing our position on what the Defense Department ought to look like. Now we ought to hold that line, right? That's how these things work.
Pennsylvania Democrat Chrissy Houlihan says a pay raise would be good, but the bill was taken hostage by GOP culture war priorities.
I took the uniform nearly 30 years ago, and it's a travesty that service women today will have less freedoms than I did.
The bill is expected to be rejected in the Democrat-led Senate. Ed Donahue, Washington.
Famous faces of actors and writers added star power to demonstrations outside studios and corporate offices Friday on the first full day of a walkout that has become Hollywood's biggest labor fight in decades. In a decision late Thursday, the Screen Actors Guild American Federation of Television and Radio Artists, or SAG-AFTRA, formally joined screenwriters who walked out in May. It's the first time both sides have gone on strike since 1963. They're seeking contracts that keep up with inflation and better residual payments, which compensate creators and actors for their use of material beyond original airing. Disney chief Bob Iger said what the actors and writers are doing is a shame. On the picket line Friday, actor Sean Gunn did not take that comment well.
He needs to remember that in 1980, CEOs like him made 30 times what their lowest worker was making. Now Bob Iger makes 400 times what his lowest worker is. And I think that's a shame, Bob.
Unrelenting bloodshed across the U.S. this year has led to the grimmest of milestones, the deadliest 6 months of mass killings recorded since at least 2006. VOA's Tommy McNeil reports.
From January 1st to June 30th, the nation endured 28 mass killings, all but one of which involved guns. The death toll rose just about every week, a constant cycle of violence and grief. A mass killing is defined as an occurrence when four or more people are slain, not including the assailant, within a 24-hour period. The 2023 milestone beat the previous record of 27 mass killings, which was only just set in the second half of 2022. Tommy McNeil, VOA News, Washington.
For additional stories 24 hours a day, visit our website, voanews.com. In Washington, I'm Jeff Custer. This is VOA News.